Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. All of Psalm 1. Then looking in the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message is gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Lord, thank you once again for the privilege of being able to come to you in prayer every single day, knowing that you always, always, always have a listening ear for the prayers of your children. Thank you for the opportunity to walk with you in prayer each and every day, and thank you for the blessing, the privilege, and responsibility it is. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one of our prayer lives. Bless each and every one of our prayer lives indeed. Expand their territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon them. Keep them from the evil that they may not cause pain. Set us on fire afresh with the spirit of prayer. More and more empower us to be the praying church you've called us to be. And help us to be wise enough daily to live a lifestyle of walking in the wisdom and power of your word each and every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Hey, Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask that you'd speak today, that you'd speak through your word today. Father, teach us to delight in your word. You're so good, and you want us to know you, and you've given us so many ways to know you through prayer, through reading scriptures, through communion with other fellow believers. Father, I ask that we would just grow and sing more of you in every moment and of every day. Thank you, Father, for being so good to us and for guiding us, for teaching us. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, it's wise for us to recognize that The daily habit of reading God's word is much more important than I really believe any believer in the world fully grasps. You know, when we're reading the word of God, you're spending time one-on-one with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And keep in mind just a few interesting insights about the whole matter of reading God's word. It takes just about 70 hours and 40 minutes or so to read the Bible through at pulpit rate, aloud, straight through. Now, I don't know anyone other than the Lord himself who might do that. But again, if you were to read it straight, it would take about 70 hours and 40 minutes or so to do that. It takes around 52 hours and 20 minutes to read the Old Testament all the way through, and just about 18 hours and 20 minutes to read all the way through the New Testament. The longest book, the Book of Psalms, takes just about 4 hours and 28 minutes or so to read. But just, again, interesting to note, just some interesting truths about the time it would take to read the Word of God or portions of God's Word. If you do not have the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day, today is a great day to start that habit. And you know, actually, if you read 3 chapters a day, that if you do that on a daily basis, that will take you almost, if not entirely, through the whole Bible in a year. And so I would encourage you to prayerfully consider doing just that. I want to take time now to, as we often do, to share an article that's also a discipleship tool that we invite you to email us to get a copy of. This article is entitled The Child Warrior, and it has to do with the priority of us as believers discipling our children and discipling young people as well. Again, the title of this article, and if you'd like to get a copy, simply email me at joseph@afr.net. Again, email me at joseph@afr.net. Again, the title of this article, The Child Warrior. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Then Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Again, Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. Spiritual warfare is a reality of life. Life is not a playground. Life is not a beach. Life is a battlefield. So it's critical that we understand that life is not a game. It's not a game in which those who oppose you think themselves to be bound by a certain set of rules. The devil is our enemy, plain and simple. He hates all people, especially people of faith. This is the truth for every man and woman on earth. But know that this is not a reason for any believer to despair. Be mindful that Christ told us, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." John chapter 16, verse 33. Spiritual warfare is a reality for children and youth as much as it is for adults. It doesn't change for children and youth, just because they are young. The devil isn't trying to give children a break. He doesn't care about children. He hates children as much as he hates adult human beings. A picture of how the devil feels about children can be seen in the reality of abortion. He hates children and wants to destroy them. We as followers of Christ would be wise to do our part to very effectively equip our children for the battlefields of life. We would be wise to seek to equip them as young warriors that every day have to step out on the same battlefield that adults have to step onto. How tragic it is to see in the news children as tragic casualties in the spiritual warfare of life. Teens murdering other teens, youth and children committing suicide, very young children hooked on drugs and selling them, children bullying other children, and the list could go on and on. We're wise to seek to help our children and youth to become Christian warriors, spiritual warriors, because this helps them to be in the most advantageous position they can be in life. And that position is in knowing Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior and living a life boldly following him. That's what a Christian warrior is. So now allow me to define a Christian warrior. The following are some traits of a strong Christian warrior. He or she is a person who has accepted Jesus Christ as his or her personal Lord and Savior. Also, this person is growing spiritually as he or she becomes a diligent student of the Word of God, probably reading and meditating on no less than 3 chapters in the Word of God every single day. Then, this believer is a person of prayer who makes time to spend significant time doing so, taking time to pray every single day. This follower of Christ is seeking to live out the Word in his or her daily life and lifestyle. In other words, they're seeking to be hearers and doers of the Word. This believer is faithfully seeking to be a witness for Christ, learning to faithfully share the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever he or she may go. Then also, this believer is faithfully involved in making disciples, encouraging believers, other believers to grow and grow strong in their walk with Christ. One might ask, are these characteristics of a warrior that should be taught to children and youth as well as adults? Absolutely. Without question, yes, they should. Why is that true? Again, because young people and children have to step out onto the same battlefield that adults have to walk onto every day, as we've mentioned. It's critical that we as parents and adults not send our children onto the battlefields of life with quote-unquote sticks and stones. At the same time, we see the enemy with spiritual guns, missiles, grenades, tanks, etc. Parents, know this. The Word of God is an atomic bomb. How critical it is that we equip our children with their main weapon in life, the Word of God. Ephesians 6 paints a powerful picture of how the kingdom warrior ought to be equipped. How important it is that we help equip our children with the ongoing work of filling their hearts and their minds with the powerful Word of God. And parents, we equip our children as warriors as we have them to read the Word of God out loud to us every day. We fruitfully prepare them for the battlefield as we teach and train them to memorize the Word of God and to pray it every day. We're molding and shaping our children to be followers of Christ as we teach them how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to encourage other believers in their daily Bible reading and in prayer. We are graciously equipping our young saints as we teach them to give generously into the work of the kingdom of God. We very strategically prepare young people for battle as we model before them a life of boldly living for Christ in our everyday lives. When we believers fail to disciple and equip our children to be kingdom warriors, we leave them to be like civilians in the middle of battle with no weapons to adequately defend themselves. And too often, civilians simply become some of the first casualties of any war. So should we be training our children to become warriors, as Ephesians 6 teaches us? Absolutely yes. We'll be right back.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is
Music of the Walls Group with The Prayer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, the title of the article that we shared just a few moments ago was The Child Warrior. And if you'd like to get a copy of that article, simply email us, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you again, joseph@afr.net. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the Old Testament in the book of 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 1, beginning at verse 11. Then Nathan went to Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, and asked her, "Haven't you heard that Haggith's son, Adonijah, has made himself king? And our Lord David doesn't even know about it. If you want to save your own life and the life of your son Solomon, follow my advice. Go at once to King David and say to him, 'My lord the king, didn't you make a vow and say to me, your son Solomon will surely be the next king and will sit on my throne? Why then has Adonijah become king? And while you are still talking with him, I will come and confirm everything you have said.' So Bathsheba went into the king's bedroom. He was very old, and Abishag was taking care of him. Bathsheba bowed down before the king. 'What can I do for you?' he asked her. She replied, 'My lord, you made a vow before the Lord your God when you said to me, your son Solomon will surely be the next king and will sit on my throne. But instead, Adonijah has made himself king, and my lord the king does not even know about it. He has sacrificed many cattle, fattened calves and sheep, and he has invited all the king's sons to attend the celebration. He also invited Abiathar the priest and Joab, the commander of the army, but he did not invite your servant Solomon. And now, my lord the king, all Israel is waiting for you to announce who will become king after you. If you do not act, my son Solomon and I will be treated as criminals as soon as my lord the king has died.' While she was still speaking with the king, Nathan the prophet arrived. The king's officials told him, 'Nathan the prophet is here to see you.' Nathan went in and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. Nathan asked, 'My lord the king, have you decided that Adonijah will be the next king and that he will sit on your throne? Today he has sacrificed many cattle, fattened calves and sheep, and he has invited all the king's sons to attend the celebration. He also invited the commanders of the army and Abiathar the priest. They are feasting and drinking with him and shouting, "Long live King Adonijah!" But he did not invite me or Zadok the priest or Benaiah or your servant Solomon. Has my lord the king really done this without letting any of his officials know who should be the next king?' King David responded, 'Call Bathsheba.' So she came back in and stood before the king, and the king repeated his vow, 'As surely as the Lord lives, who has rescued me from every danger, your son Solomon will be the next king and will sit on my throne this very day, just as I vowed to you before the Lord, the God of Israel.' Then Bathsheba bowed down with her face to the ground before the king and exclaimed, "May my lord King David live forever." Then King David ordered, "Call Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah son of Jehoiada." When they came into the king's presence, the king said to them, "Take Solomon and my officials down to Gihon Spring. Solomon is to ride on my own mule. There Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet are to anoint him king over Israel. Blow the ram's horn and shout, 'Long live King Solomon!' Then escort him back here, and he will sit on my throne. He will succeed me as king, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah." "Amen," Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, replied. "May the Lord, the God of my lord the king, decree that it happen. And may the Lord be with Solomon as he has been with you, my lord the king. And may he make Solomon's reign even greater than yours." So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah son of Jehoiada, and the king's bodyguard took Solomon down to Gihon Spring, with Solomon riding on King David's own mule. There Zadok the priest took the flask of olive oil from the sacred tent and anointed Solomon with the oil. Then they sounded the ram's horn, and all the people shouted, "Long live King Solomon!" And all the people followed Solomon into Jerusalem, playing flutes and shouting for joy. The celebration was so joyous and noisy that the earth shook with the sound. Adonijah and his friends heard the celebrating and shouting just as they were finishing their banquet. When Joab heard the sound of the ram's horn, he asked, "What's going on? Why is the city in such an uproar?" And while he was still speaking, Jonathan, son of Abiathar, the priest, arrived. "Come in," Adonijah said to him. "You are a good man. You must have good news." "Not at all," Jonathan replied. "Our Lord King David has just declared Solomon king. The king sent him down to Gihon Spring with Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah son of Jehoiada, protected by the king's bodyguard. They had him ride on the king's own mule, and Zadok and Nathan have anointed him at Gihon Springs as the new king. They have just returned, and the whole city is celebrating and rejoicing. That's what all the noise is about. What more, Solomon is now sitting on the royal throne as king, and all the royal officials have gone to King David and congratulated him, saying, 'May your God make Solomon's fame even greater than your own, and may Solomon's reign be even greater than yours.'" Then the king bowed his head in worship as he lay on his bed, and he said, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who today has chosen a successor to sit on my throne while I am still alive to see it." Then all of Adonijah's guests jumped up in panic from the banquet table and quickly scattered. Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, so he rushed to the sacred tent and grabbed onto the horns of the altar. Word soon reached Solomon that Adonijah had seized the horns of the altar in fear, and that he was pleading, "Let King Solomon swear today that he will not kill me." Solomon replied, "If he proves himself to be loyal, not a hair on his head will be touched. But if he makes trouble, he will die." So King Solomon summoned Adonijah, and they brought him down from the altar. He came and bowed respectfully before King Solomon, who dismissed him, saying, "Go on home." 1 Kings chapter 2. As the time of King David's death approached, he gave this charge to his son Solomon. I am going where everyone on earth must someday go. Take courage and be a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow all his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written in the law of Moses so that you will be successful in all you do and wherever you go. If you do this, then the Lord will keep the promise he made to me. He told me, if your descendants live as they should and follow me faithfully with all their heart and soul, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel. And there's something else. You know what Joab, son of Zeruiah, did to me when he murdered my two army commanders, Abner, son of Ner, and Amasa, son of Jether. He pretended that it was an act of war, but it was done in a time of peace, staining his belt and sandals with innocent blood. Do with him what you think best, but don't let him grow old and go to his grave in peace. Be kind to the sons of Barzillai of Gilead. Make them permanent guests at your table, for they took care of me when I fled from your brother Absalom. And remember Shimei, son of Gera, the man from Bahurim in Benjamin. He cursed me with a terrible curse as I was fleeing to Mahanaim. When he came down to meet me at the Jordan River, I swore by the Lord that I would not kill him. But that oath does not make him innocent. You are a wise man, and you will know how to arrange a bloody death for him. Then David died and was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. David had reigned over Israel for 40 years, 7 of them in Hebron and 33 in Jerusalem. Solomon became king and sat on the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was firmly established. One day Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith, came to see Bathsheba, Solomon's mother. "Have you come with peaceful intentions?" she asked him. "Yes," he said, "I come in peace. In fact, I have a favor to ask of you." "What is it?" she asked. He replied, "As you know, the kingdom was rightfully mine. All Israel wanted me to be the next king. But the tables were turned, and the kingdom went to my brother instead. For that is the way the Lord wanted it. So now, I have just one favor to ask of you. Please don't turn me down." "What is it?" she asked. He replied, "Speak to King Solomon on my behalf, for I know he will do anything you request. Ask him to let me marry Abishag, the girl from Shunem." "All right," Bathsheba replied. "I will speak to the king for you." So Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak on Adonijah's behalf. The king rose from his throne to meet her, and he bowed down before her. When he sat down on his throne again, the king ordered that a throne be brought for his mother, and she sat at his right hand. "I have one small request to make of you," she said. "I hope you won't turn me down." "What is it, my mother?" he asked. "You know I won't refuse you." "Then let your brother Adonijah marry Abishag, the girl from Shunem," she replied. "How can you possibly ask me to give Abishag to Adonijah?" King Solomon demanded. "You might as well ask me to give him the kingdom. You know that he is my older brother, and that he has Abiathar the priest and Joab son of Zeruiah on his side." Then King Solomon made a vow before the Lord, "May God strike me and even kill me if Adonijah has not sealed his fate with this request." The Lord has confirmed me and placed me on the throne of my father, David. He has established my dynasty as he promised. So, as surely as the Lord lives, Adonijah will die this very day. So King Solomon ordered Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, to execute him, and Adonijah was put to death. Then the king said to Abiathar the priest, "Go back to your home in Anathoth. You deserve to die, but I will not kill you now, because you carried the ark of the sovereign Lord for David my father, and you shared all his hardships." So Solomon deposed Abiathar from his position as priest of the Lord, thereby fulfilling the prophecy the Lord had given at Shiloh concerning the descendants of Eli. Verses 1 through 27, 1 Kings chapter 2. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be back. Music of Planet Shakers with the anthem. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God in the New Testament, picking up at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Are we beginning to praise ourselves again? Are we like others who need to bring you letters of recommendation, or who ask you to write such letters on their behalf? Surely not. The only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved on tables, it is carved on tablets of stone. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. We are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. He has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. The old way, with laws etched in stone, led to death, though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face. For his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened. And to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so that they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil, and they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Chapter 4. Therefore, since God in His mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under the constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, "I believed in God, so I spoke." We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. This is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earth and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh, but it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we would be at home with the Lord. So whether we be here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this, too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No, we are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died. We also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Verses 1 through 15, 2 Corinthians chapter 15. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. Just a reminder once again, if you'd like to get a copy of the article that we shared earlier, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. The article we shared earlier was The Child Warrior. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Well, as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never made the eternally important decision of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, This day is a really good day to make that eternally important decision. If you'd like to commit your heart and life to the Lord, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to the Lord, we're very much hoping and wanting to hear from you. Please email me at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We definitely would like to be in touch with you, to share with you some literature and resource material that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to connect with you. Please email us again, joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. And once again, the title of that article that we shared earlier, The Child Warrior. To get a copy, simply email me, same email, joseph@afr.net. Again, joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.